Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we consider this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So far our text. So, I'm excited about this account because it gives me a chance to tell you my favorite joke. Actually, second favorite, but maybe you already heard it. I'm going to tell you anyway. A Catholic priest and a Lutheran pastor went fishing every week. And one week, the Lutheran pastor decided to invite along his friend, the Baptist pastor. So the three of them are out there in the middle of the lake in a boat. See how it connects the story. And the priest decides, well, he needs to relieve himself. So he stands up. He says, "Oh, I'll be right back." Walks across the water into the woods. Comes back, walks across the water, gets back in the boat. The Baptist is amazed, but, you know, the pastor, the Lutheran pastor, seems nonchalant about it, so he just plays along, doesn't say anything. After a little bit, the Lutheran pastor stands up, "I'll be right back," walks across the water, goes into the woods, walks back across the water. And now the Baptist is really kind of amazed and, well, a little ashamed of himself. He thinks, well, you know what, if the Catholic and the Lutheran can do this, then, you know, surely I can. I'm the Baptist here. So he decides he has to prove his faith, gets up, steps out of the boat, sinks. The Lutheran pastor looks over the side of the boat, looks back at the priest, tells him, "Should we have told him where the rocks are?" So is that what's going on here? Does Peter just happen to know where the rocks are? There are many people in this world, of course, who try very hard to explain away all the miracles in Scripture. And if you really twist them and you really come up with, you know, convoluted explanations about everything, you can probably convince yourself that, oh, these are just natural events that just appear supernatural because, you know, they weren't very smart back then and didn't really understand what was going on. But the fact of the matter is, we have experienced fishermen who certainly would have known if they were close to shore or not. And yes, you might hallucinate someone. We can understand how you might hallucinate someone walking on water in the middle of the night, but you don't usually have conversations with that person. And you certainly can't hallucinate walking on the water yourself. Peter Newton would have known the difference between walking on rocks that just happened to be under the water and walking on the water. And so it really comes down to a question of, is Peter being honest with us? Is he telling us what really happened, or is he lying to us just to make himself look greater? It seems rather unlikely.
By far, the most reasonable explanation is that everything happened as Peter says it did, as Matthew and the others said it did. And this miracle really happened. And the only conclusion left for us is that of the disciples, that truly this was the Son of God. So the question before us, the real heart and question of this account is not whether they were walking on rocks or not, is not whether it really happened. The real question is not even how Jesus walked on the water. All power in heaven and earth, that's no problem for him. Or even how Peter walked on the water. The real question before us is, why did Peter sink? It's no problem for Jesus to walk on the water. It's no problem for Jesus to uphold Peter and cause him to walk on the water. But why did Peter start to sink? I suppose that this account is probably a favorite for the faith healers, the Pentecostals, those who really push miracles and say that those who have faith will do these things. Or even the big box churches, you know, who like to talk about, if you have enough faith, then you can get what you want from God. You'll get riches, you'll get the car you want, you'll get everything you want if you just have enough faith. And at first glance, this account seems to fit in very well with their ideas about faith and Scripture, about Jesus and how he works in our life. Because after all, when Peter had great faith, he got out and he walked no problem on the water. But when he began to doubt, he started to sink. But to view this account in that manner, to view Peter's faith in that manner, is really a twisting of everything that the Scripture teaches us about faith and about the power of Jesus. Not only that, it's completely missing what is really the heart and soul of this account. Faith is not some mystical power that we can tap into and then channel to use for our own desires. Nor is it a bridge that must be there in order for Jesus to do miracles in our life. That's the way some people view it. If you have faith, then Jesus will do what you want, and if you don't, he won't. Remember our VBS lesson, all power in heaven and earth belong to Jesus. And he uses that power according to his will to do the things he wants to do. He doesn't need the faith of man in order to accomplish his will. If he wants Peter to walk on the water, Peter will walk on the water. And if he doesn't want Peter to walk on the water, Peter won't. It's true that Jesus often cites faith as the reason, to some degree, for miracles. We remember the blind men and the lepers and the daughter. And Jesus, in all those situations, Jesus said, you know, your faith has made you well. Your faith has done this. Your faith has done that. And so once again, you know, you just look on the surface, it sounds like we're back to that idea of the faith healers. Faith is the power, or faith is the means by which Jesus must work. But when we correctly understand what faith is, we see that that's not what Jesus is saying at all. And lucky for us, we had the scripture reading from Romans that really helps us to understand the nature of faith. Because there, Paul lays out for us. He says, how do we obtain salvation, you know? Is it some great task, such as climbing up into heaven, or we've got to do something to prove ourselves worthy? And that's, of course, how the Greeks viewed it, right? They have all those myths about heroes that performed great tasks that were able to elevate them to Mount Olympus, elevate them to Godhead. That's what Paul is talking about. Do we need to ascend into heaven? Do we need to do some great task to prove ourselves worthy? No. Or do we need to descend, fight our way through demons and down to the depths of the earth, and then we can save Jesus, and then we can have salvation. No. But the word is near to you, to all who call upon it. Paul is telling us, salvation is easy. It's simple. Call upon the Lord, and he will answer, and he will save you. And that is faith, isn't it? That cry to the Lord, the asking, Lord, save me. We saw that in the psalm. David says, I'm drowning in sin, and I cried to the Lord, and the Lord saved me. Faith is that simple. It's just the cry, the asking. Lord, help me. And the Lord reaches out and pulls us back into the boat. And so, in all those miracles we were talking about, the healing of the lame man, the healing of the blind man, what role did faith play? The role of faith was that these men asked. Ask, and you shall receive. Yes, they received because they asked. They received because they had faith. Jesus could heal them regardless of their faith or not, but often he only healed those who came to ask. And so he says, your faith has made you well because your faith brought you to me, the one who could help. In faith, the leper asks. In faith, the blind man asks. In faith, Peter asks in our sermon text today. And the Lord is right there. And that's really the lesson or the whole meaning behind the hymn we're about to sing after the sermon. What a friend we have in Jesus. How does it go? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Why? Because we do not carry everything to him in prayer. Because we don't ask, we don't receive. But when we do ask, we do receive. So then, if it isn't the faith of Peter that makes the difference, if it isn't the lack of faith that causes Peter to sink, we're back to that same question. Why? Why does Peter begin to sink? I think, really, the only reasonable answer is that Jesus, as he did so often, uses the opportunity to teach. We have here one of the ultimate object lessons. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit jealous of Jesus because it can be hard to get you guys to pay attention, right? But if, maybe next week we should move the camp service out to Big Green Lake and see how many of you can walk across. It's very useful to be able to do things like this. It really drives the lesson home, doesn't it? And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. You know, he's teaching his disciples spiritual truths through earthly object lessons. Sometimes he uses parables. Sometimes the disciples are the parable, as is the case here. A greater or lesser faith isn't going to enable you to walk across physical oceans. The power of God is his power. He heals or he doesn't heal. He does as he wills. The man who asks with a little faith, the Lord answers just as the man who asks with a big faith. Remember, Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed. The size of the faith isn't what matters, but coming to Jesus asking is what matters. So when it comes to the earthly things, no, the size of the faith doesn't matter, but I view it as a parable. Walking through the storms of this life, walking across the waters, remaining focused on Christ despite the waves. It does matter when it comes to spiritual things, doesn't it? How to remain faithful, how to stay on the path God has directed us. how to keep our head above the waves spiritually, we need to remain focused on Jesus. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that they need to remain focused on him and not be distracted, not worry about the waves, about the hatred of men, about death, about pain and suffering, not to worry about those things in their life as disciples. They need to remain focused on him, because as soon as they look away, as soon as they start worrying about the things of this life, spiritually they're going to start drowning. There are plenty of situations in our life where our lack of faith leads to us start drowning in sin or in some other way. We saw that, remember, back again in the Psalm. David lost his focus on serving his Lord and serving his neighbor, and it led him into great sin. And so he confesses in that Psalm, I was drowning. I was surrounded by sin. I was surrounded by my enemies. One example I'll point out, and there are many, but we'll just do one today, is the example of marriage. The Lord promises that when we serve him, when we do things according to his will and according to the way that he has set before us, he will bless us and he will give us what is good for us. And so he says, remain chaste until marriage. And even within marriage, remain faithful to your spouse. And this will be good. And too many people nowadays say, no, the Lord doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll have a better life. I'll be happier. I'll have more fun if I do things my way. Turn away from the word of the Lord. And inevitably, those sins lead to problems. Now, sometimes, you know, we repent, we come back to the Lord, and the Lord blesses us anyway with a good marriage. The Lord gives us again good blessings, but probably never to the extent or as good of a marriage as we could have had if we had remained faithful to the Lord. But a lot of other times, those sins cause huge problems. All because we didn't not staying focused on Jesus and his word causes problems. So Peter is an object lesson for us. Not to teach us how to walk on water, but to teach us spiritual truths. Now that's true. But having said that, having understood that, that still isn't really the focus or the main point of this account, is it? I already pointed that out before the service even began, that the focus is always on Jesus and what he does, not on Peter's faith or lack of faith. And so the real lesson, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. There are many lessons that we could take from this account, right? Don't let the waves of this world distract you. You know, keep the faith, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. If you have faith, you can do anything. Those are just a few of the lessons that we could take away from this account. But all of those are at best secondary. Some of them are flat out wrong, but are best secondary. The real focus is that when Peter cries out because he's drowning, Jesus is right there to pull him out. The far more important lesson here for us then is that when we fail, when we lose focus on Christ, when we sin, because we're not doing what his will, when we have doubts, when we're in danger, cry to the Lord, and he will always be there to answer. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. All too often, we don't turn to the Lord. When things are going good, we don't think we need him. When things are going bad, we doubt if he's really going to help, and we need to figure it out for ourselves, we think. consider the account again, looking at how many times and in how many different ways Jesus is teaching and showing his disciples that he is always there for them in every need. To begin with, Jesus sends them, well, to begin with, we have to remember, sometimes we confuse this account with the stilling of the storm. In fact, I made that mistake. I looked at the gospel reading and was like, oh, good, we have the stilling of the storm. We had feeding the 5,000 last week, and now we have another one of our VBS lessons, the stilling of the storm. No, it's not the stilling of the storm, is it? It's the walking on water. They're two separate accounts. And in fact, in this account, there is no storm. There's a strong wind, and there are some waves because of the wind, but there's not the great storm like there was at the stilling of the storm. So the problem that the disciples are having, they're not afraid that their boat's going to capsize. The problem they're having is they can't make it across the lake. Remember, Jesus sent them before him. He said, go to the other side, and I'll meet you there. And the disciples left, and that was after the feeding of the 5,000, so it was evening. And now we're at the third watch of the night, so after 3 in the morning. So they've been paddling all night trying to get across the lake, and they can't. They're tired. They're exhausted. And they're stuck in the middle of the lake. And what happens? Jesus is there. They're in need, and Jesus is there, walking on the water. He comes to them because he knows they need him. Then they're afraid, not because of the storm, but they're afraid because they think he's a ghost. And Jesus comes to them, don't worry, don't be afraid. I am here. I am with you always. It is I. And then Peter asks his question, well, let me come to you on the waves. And Jesus says, come. Jesus answers his prayer, answers his request. Sure, come on up. And then Peter is sinking. And Jesus reaches, and Jesus is immediately right there, reaches out his hands, pulls him back. And then, and this doesn't, Matthew doesn't speak about this, but the other gospel writers do, the boat is immediately on the other side of the shore. Remember, that was the original problem. They were stuck in the middle of the lake early in the morning, exhausted. Jesus answers that prayer as well, takes them to the other side. Over and over and over again in this account, every time they are in need, every time they called him, every time they ask for something, Jesus is there to comfort, to give aid, to answer their prayer. So many people want to make this a story about faith and about power and how we can get what we want from Jesus if we just have enough faith or if we do things in the right way. And that's where we go back to the reading from Romans. Right? Is it all about what we do according to the works of the law or some great deed that we need to do? No. Paul says no, but the Lord is right there to all who call upon him. Just ask. In the day of trouble, just ask. In the day of plenty, just ask. When you're drowning in your own sin and you feel like, oh, the Lord's not going to talk to me, the Lord's not going to answer my prayer because, you know, I was unfaithful, I did this. No, that's not true. Jesus is always there to answer. Surrounded by worries, in every situation, in every need, pray to the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And who knows the next phrase? How many of you know how that song continues? Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and nobody? Anybody need to get you all back in confirmation class? And you will glorify me. And that's exactly what happens in our text, isn't it? They cry to the Lord answers, and then they respond, truly, this is the Son of God. It's interesting to note that they didn't say that after the feeding of the 5,000. They didn't say that after all the healing miracles that Jesus did. Thousands and thousands of miracles Jesus had done at this point. He spent all day healing people. But that didn't lead them to say, truly you are the Son of God. But they do hear. What's the difference? Is this miracle that much greater? No. But this miracle is personal, isn't it? It's all well and good for Jesus to give food to others. It's all well and good for Jesus to heal the blind, the leper. That's great. I'm sure they were happy to see those miracles. But that was always for others. This is their day of trouble. This is their need. It's not so much about the miracle as it is about Jesus was there for them when they need it. He's not just a powerful Son of God, but he is their God, as he is ours. Always there for us whenever we need him. And that's what leads them and us to say, truly, this is the Son of God. Not just because he does help, not just because he is able to help, but because he's always there for us when we need him. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.